Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. If you're new to this, don't forget we do this weekdays, 11 a.m., Big X, 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM. We're streaming at BigXSportsRadio.com. You can also tune in on the app as well. So no reason not to catch up with us every day. We talk IU sports. We talk Southern Indiana sports. We talk a lot of basketball, even in football season. And glad that you're with us today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, set the schedule for you in this hour. Joining us in segment number two, once we get through some news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopsters, segment two we'll have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach was at the IU football victory over the weekend, a crazy weather game. It's been crazy weather. It's not that normal rain type. You get, you know, we have days of rain. That's common in the Ohio Valley. You don't have the type of rain and downpours that we've had as consistently as we have had without having some hurricane remnants as far as the rain and a little bit of wind goes. It's been an interesting weather weekend, that's for sure. And Zach was at the crazy weather game in Bloomington as well. A lot of ground game, as you can imagine, by both teams. Just a crazy game. Applause for the fans that were able to stay through that one. That was tough environment. Same for the Louisville game. I saw that was delayed multiple times. The Indiana game wasn't delayed, but unbelievable situation to play a football game in. And it was affected not just at the Indiana game, but a lot of games in the Midwest that felt the brunt of rain for a number of hours, a number of days over this weekend. But a big win for Indiana. Zach Osterman helps break it all down for us. We'll talk about some of the keys of the game. We'll talk about what Indiana football did well. Obviously, Virginia, a solid football team. Not sure they're great, but a solid football team. A crazy weather environment, as I mentioned. Indiana showed some improvement. They got some help from the running back position. Their defense looked better. Peyton Ramsey's numbers were very similar to what he did in week one. So overall, I think you can chalk it up as a success. It's clear Tom Allen thought it was a success if you saw his reaction after the game and cheering and chanting with the fans, knocking over a trash can, kicking over a trash can, I should say, en route to go greet some of the students and fans at the game that made it through the rainy weather conditions. But nonetheless, I thought overall, a good win for IU football. They'll get ready for Ball State. We'll talk about that as well with Zach when he joins us later in the program. Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charlestown Athletic Director. He'll join us. We'll talk a lot of Southern Indiana sports topics. We'll recap week four of high school football. Of course, we'll find a way to throw a little basketball in there as well. So make sure you stay with us for that today. Later in the show. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. One of the big things for Indiana football that helped them to the victory was finding some finding some reliability maybe in the running back position. That's been a position of great concern with some injuries, with some players out for other reasons. But freshman running back, he's a true freshman, Stevie Scott. He stepped up in a major, major way for Indiana. He had 204 rushing yards in Indiana's win on Saturday night. And just before we came on the air this morning, I saw that he was named co-Big Ten Freshman of the Week this season, along with a player from Ohio State. Big stuff. That was a real position of concern for Indiana going back to the Florida International game. Some injuries in that game that made that position even a little bit more unknown. And big stuff from true freshman Stevie Scott from a Rutgers transfer, actually, from for the Hoosiers on Saturday night. Big stuff for him. We'll see if he can continue that. But obviously a game to really, really build some momentum on. Stevie Scott, player of the game, no question about it in my eyes, from Indiana's perspective, and really helped them to that close victory, exciting victory on Saturday night. A couple other headlines, mainly recruiting stuff. A lot of recruiting nuggets. Christian Lander, a guard from Evansville, writes he took an unofficial visit to Indiana over the weekend and received a scholarship offer from IU over the weekend. His stock is definitely on the uprise. He's had offers recently from Purdue. He's been on other campuses like Ohio State. I think he's planning an unofficial visit to Kentucky as well. And, again, a young player, somebody just coming up through the ranks. He's going to be interesting to watch, one of the Southern Indiana players over the next few high school seasons that obviously will be fun to watch develop and come along. But he's got a lot of college interest. He's got a lot of college coaches wanting him for their programs, and that's always a good sign, especially for a young player. We'll see if Archie Miller can work his magic. We'll see how things progress. I'm sure it's going to be a recruitment that will play out over the next year, year and a half or so, if not longer. But Christian Lander of Evansville Wrights gets an offer from the Hoosiers over the weekend. Also, keep in mind, Wright's on the schedule of a couple of our local teams, which means over the next few years, whether it be home or away, some of our locals like New Albany and Jeff will get the chance to go head-to-head with Christian Lander, a player that, again, is definitely on the rise after the performances that he had this summer when coaches were out on the road. Also, the fall recruiting period started yesterday. That's kind of why we've got a lot of notes about visits and offers and that sort of thing on today's program. Indiana coach Archie Miller, he was busy yesterday in the opening day of the fall recruiting period. He had in-home visits with Trace Jackson Davis. Then he went up north to see Keon Brooks and also Isaiah Stewart to check in with them. So some important visits for him. You could make a case that maybe those are the three most outstanding prospects that Indiana is involved with at this point for the 2019 class. Obviously, none bigger than Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who are from the state of Indiana. Isaiah Stewart is in Indiana because he plays at La Lemire up in LaPorte, Indiana. But those are three big ones, and Indiana still hanging in there with all of them. In fact, potentially the leader for at least Trace Jackson Davis, I think, in most people's eyes, and Keon Brooks a little bit more shielded, a little bit more of a question about where he ultimately will land up. But Archie Miller getting in-home visits with all three of those. In fact, Keon's dad sending out a tweet yesterday afternoon after Archie left their household saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but great always to catch up with Coach Miller. Thanks for stopping by. So interesting and no surprise on the first day you're going to hit your biggest prospects that are out there. Interesting to see Archie Miller knock all three of them out in one day. Also, another recruiting note, Matthew Hurt out of Minnesota, John Marshall High School. He's got three of I was reading a story on him. He's got three of the six active coaches, college basketball coaches in the Hall of Fame, are recruiting him. And he's got Duke coming in, Kansas coming in, Kentucky coming in for visits as well. In fact, some of those happened Sunday in the first day of the recruiting period. He also is expected to get in-home visits from Roy Williams at North Carolina, from Minnesota, from Villanova as well, Memphis with Penny Hardaway, and Indiana, Archie Miller, on September 17th, coming up here in about 1 week is the in-home visit date for Archie Miller to visit with Matthew Hurt in Minnesota. But you want to talk about a player getting recruited by the best. He's got all the blue bloods after him. He's got Villanova, obviously, after him. He's got Memphis with famed coach Penny Hardaway after him. He's going to have a lot of big-time visitors coming up here in the next couple weeks with the fall recruiting period open again, and Indiana continuing to try to keep an angle with him as well. Also, Keon Brooks tweeted yesterday over the weekend that he will be down to a top six coming soon. And, again, Indiana would be a major surprise if they were not in that list of six from Keon Brooks. But he sent a message that he is expecting to have his top six soon. Now, whether that's today, tomorrow, later this week, who knows? But Final six coming soon from Keon Brooks. Also, worth noting that Zeke Kanaji, another player from Minnesota, played his summer ball with Matthew Hurt. Indiana has been interested in him and has been very active in his recruiting, watching him play and staying in contact with him. He got an offer over the weekend from Kentucky, so we'll see how that plays out. But Najee with a scholarship offer from Kentucky over the weekend. I do think it's also worth noting that Joe Toussaint, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, verbally committed to Iowa. He had an official visit there, was at the football game in Iowa over the weekend. He's a good player that they've been recruiting now for some time. He's one of the players that obviously has some connection with that group that's going to Iowa now with Trace Jackson Davis as they try to recruit him into the fold. So, again, Iowa putting together for 2019 at least a pretty solid recruiting class. I'm sure they're using that as ammunition to build their status and bring in Trace Jackson Davis. He seems to like Coach McCaffrey. They seem to be someone, if you had to pick a two or three behind Indiana as far as challengers to the Hoosiers for the services of Trace Jackson Davis, you might have to put Iowa in one of those spots, at least based on comments and just kind of the word that's out there right now. But Iowa is building a good 2019 class. There's no question about that. That's a look at some headlines on this Monday edition of the program. Oh, I want to get in a couple high school football notes as well before we get out of this segment. New Albany and Bedford, over the weekend. What a game. Down to the very, very end. And Bedford North Lawrence, their quarterback, gets across the goal line to score. New Albany falls to 2-1 on the season, and 3-1, excuse me, on the season, all out of whack here, after a great start to the year. That was one of those games, if New Albany could have scored that victory against Bedford, that it sends them into the Columbus East game this Friday with an undefeated record. Obviously, that's not going to be the case. They fall in heartbreaking fashion, but we thought it would be a good game between New Albany and Bedford. It played out to be a good game between New Albany and Bedford. Down New Albany with a real challenge coming up this weekend, hosting Columbus East as well. Other games over the weekend, obviously Jeffersonville, that's very notable as they get their first win. No question about that. Brian Gleason, a little bit of relief to record his first win as Jeffersonville's coach. Providence victorious as well. Floyd Central, they fall in heartbreaking fashion on the road at Seymour in a kind of a wet and wild game there as well. The weather Friday night was worse to the north than it was in this area, but Floyd Central takes a loss. So Seymour proving it's going to be a very worthy Hoosier Hills Conference opponent this year as well. So always interesting to keep an eye on things as we move into week five of high school football, entering the real heart of the season now. It's good matchups this past Friday. We had a ton of close games. We'll have some good matchups this coming Friday as well. Speaking of matchups this Friday, one that we'll be previewing and talking about throughout the week is Providence and Charlestown. And we are actually going to feature that game on Thursday night in a special Zaxby's rivalry show that will take place at the Zaxby's on Highway 62. Thursday night, live at 7 o'clock, will be on the air with complete coverage from both teams. The head coaches, some of the top players, will preview a big matchup, Charlestown and Providence. It should be a really good game. Charlestown scored a huge victory over North Harrison over the weekend. Providence also victorious as well. Providence battle-tested after losing to New Albany and Floyd Central in the first 2 weeks of the season. So we think it'll be a good one. We think it maybe has potential to be the game of the week in this area as far as being very close and competitive. And we'll have all of the breakdown for you Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m., live on the Big X. We'll be out at Zaxby's on Highway 62. It's also going to be a fundraiser for those two schools, Charlestown and Providence. So we'll be getting you some more information. If you're a fan of one of those schools, we want you to join us. You can eat dinner. You can make a contribution by eating dinner as well to those football programs and those athletic departments. And we'll have more information on that coming up a little bit later this week. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar, best place to watch sports as well by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll recap IU Virginia. We'll take a look at IU Ball State this coming weekend. We'll talk Armon Franklin's commitment to Indiana and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program, which means Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is our guest. We'll recap the big IU football victory, a home game over Virginia on Saturday. We'll look ahead to the Ball State contest as well and try to work a few basketball items in with Zach when he joins us right now. Zach, first off, a great game. However, you may be one of the few people at Memorial Stadium that had somewhat of a chance to enjoy the game because you were in the press box outside. I'm not sure I could weather that if I was a fan in the stands.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was about as bad as I think you could imagine weather being without there actually being a significant weather event. And I know it was kind of the remnants of a tropical storm or whatever, but I'm talking about, you know, a couple years ago Notre Dame played NC State in an actual hurricane. You know, without it being something that's got like a name and, you know, several hours of coverage dedicated to it on the Weather Channel. I mean, the rain was coming down at every possible angle because shifting, certainly not for September 8th. And it looked for a little while like it might let up somewhere in the second half, but the system just moved so slowly that it basically didn't really stop raining until after midnight. You had to be dedicated to hang in there.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Our guest, Zach, you tweeted, and this was accompanied one of your stories kind of as the preview, but IU football has been style over substance, you think, in recent years, but it feels like maybe this year's group is the opposite of that, and I agree with that take, and I'm curious to hear your explanation of that, and I think that's a great way to maybe summarize the early look at this team.
Yeah, I mean, it is early. I think that's the first thing to say. You know, I think that these last two games have presented a couple of different kind of tricky challenges for Indiana. It's important that they won them both. I don't think we could be taking them seriously as a potential bowl team if they hadn't won them. But, you know, I mean, look, I've been around IU football since I was a freshman in college in 2005. I've seen, you know, I remember just that year Blake Powers ripping off like 20 touchdown passes in the first four or five games. You know, then you had Kellen Lewis and James Hardy in the next season. We've seen Ben Chappell come through, put up big passing numbers. Obviously, some of the Kevin Wilson coach teams, when you think about Tevin Coleman or Shane Wynn, you know, a couple guys who broke 1,000 yards receiving. That 2015 team was the first team since Ohio State in 1995 in Big Ten history to have a 3,500-yard passer, 2,000-yard rushers, and 1,000-yard receiver. So Indiana fans, for whatever they've seen on the football field, they have seen some exciting offenses and some teams that, you know, if nothing else, have some exciting, talented players. But so often, I think what's happened at Indiana is that those players, the talent has kind of been concentrated in a small group, and the team has been built around trying to sort of hit home runs, make big plays, and have, you know, that small, highly talented group kind of cover for a whole lot of other sins around the roster that you're not deep enough at four different positions and, you know, your offensive line is too young or your defense, you know, your secondary just doesn't have the, you know, you're starting two walk-ons in your secondary, that kind of thing. And, look, sometimes you can kind of damn a team with faint praise by saying that, oh, they've lost some really talented players, but, they're more of a team this year. But it really does, watching this group through 2 weeks, it really does feel like this is just a group that suddenly is doing all the things, or most of the things, that Indiana football used to not be able to do when they lost. So all the little things, you know, dropping the interception as opposed to catching it, you know, winning the punt game as opposed to shanking a punt really badly and handing a team easy field position that leads to a good drive and a touchdown. All that little stuff that you just look back and you say, well, geez, if we could have just done this, this, and this, we would have won the game. But so consistently, Indiana couldn't do those things. You sort of feel like, and this is still an imperfect team, it's got weaknesses, it's got flaws, but you feel like this is a group that is doing those little things. That is, you know, what I imagine a coach would probably call winning plays. And so you do sort of feel like, okay, this team may not get you up out of your seat a whole bunch. There may not be a bunch of 75-yard touchdown runs or anything like that. But what you are seeing is a team that understands how to play football in all three phases, understands how to play in a way where everything complements everything else, and to play in a way where it's the other guy that's making those little mistakes, that's missing just those little plays, the tackle that, the missed tackle that allows a first down as opposed to stopping a drive, you know, at a key moment to retain field position, stuff like that. It's suddenly the other team, it feels like, that's missing those little plays, not Indiana.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star, our guest. Good stuff from Zach as he breaks down the football victory over Virginia over the weekend. Defense really looked different from that first game, Zach. Also, there had been some concern at the running back position because of some injuries and some players that aren't on the roster, at least for now. Those were two big areas of improvement that in a sloppy game, in a wet game, in a close game, I thought helped Indiana prevail down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense was something that I don't know how many different people used the word standard between FIU and Virginia, you know, whether it was players or coaches talking about the FIU performance and talking about why it wasn't acceptable. And, you know, I think we may have talked last week about how a lot of us on the beat sort of picked up with this alarm at the defensive performance at FIU from fans and thought, well, they only allowed 327 yards. It was a weird road game in the first week of the season. You know, in Southeast Florida, does that really feel like a terrible defensive performance? But Tom Allen made it really clear from Monday of last week that it wasn't acceptable to him. The defensive performance just was not up, again, to that word that everybody kept using, standard. I think that they felt like this was a really good reply. They only allowed two touchdowns, one in the first quarter. I think the other one was in the third quarter. They corralled Bryce Perkins to a degree. I think he's probably as dual threat and athletic of a quarterback as Indiana's going to see this year. And he broke 100 yards rushing, but I think he only had something like 106 yards passing. And Virginia as a team, other than yards that Perkins accounted for directly on offense, only had 65 yards the entire night. And so Indiana doesn't produce a turnover on defense, but really I think produces in general the kind of, you know, commanding all-around defensive performance Allen was looking for as a response. And then Stevie Scott, to your point, I mean, if a freshman breaks 200 yards against an ACC opponent, that says something. And what was striking to me, though, was, you know, he had two long runs. He had the 40-yard touchdown run in the first half. He opened the second half with the 42-yard run. You take those two away, and he had something like 29 carries for about 128 yards, 126 yards, something like that. But he only lost 1 yard all night. And when you're an offense like Indiana's, where, again, you're maybe not going to have those big plays, you're not going to have those, you know, explosive shots down the field, you're not going to be able to go vertical a lot in the passing game, you've now lost a running back in Cole Guest that I think was probably as much of a home run hitter at that position as Indiana was going to have this year. What you need is a back that keeps the offense on schedule. And, you know, I'm not making this comparison in a broad way because Jordan Howard is an all-pro running back for the Bears now. But he does have – Scott has a little bit of that quality that Howard had in him where he's always falling forward. He's always moving forward. He understands how to use his size so that what looks like a 1 yard gain becomes a 3 yard gain. What looks like a 1 yard loss becomes a 2 yard gain, or at least gets back to the line of scrimmage. That kind of thing. And again, when you talk about just those little things that add up, even if you don't score on a drive, if he's the difference between you getting two first downs on a drive and four first downs on a drive, well, if you're Indiana, when you're trying to maybe control the clock a little bit and you're leaning on your defense and all that, that's an extra 4 minutes off the game clock. And that's also pushing field position further back, even if you do have to punt the ball back to the other team. So it's obviously just a couple weeks for Scott, but his numbers already look good. I mean, I thought he had a good enough debut at FIU, and I thought he had an even better game, in part because I thought his offensive line had an even better game against Virginia. And I think it's clear that Indiana's going to ride him at least as one of its feature backs for the foreseeable future. It's the curse of the Rutgers decommit, because Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, and Stevie Scott are all former Rutgers commitments from the New York, New Jersey area who decommitted from Rutgers and went to other Big Ten schools. If Stevie Scott follows the Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor career path, I think Indiana will be very happy, and Rutgers maybe will just stop trying to commit running backs. I don't know.
We're talking IU football with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, a great way to start the week here on the show with lots of insight about IU football and, of course, basketball as well. One more quick football note. Ball State, they played Notre Dame tough. I tell you what, I saw the very beginning of that game, and I saw the end. A lot of it in the middle part of it was consumed with local weather coverage. We had some tornado and thunderstorm warnings and issues going on here in the far southern part of the state during that game. But Ball State got scored on early, and I thought, uh-oh, this may be an absolute blowout, an absolute rout. And I tell you what, they actually came back, kicked the field goal, kept it respectable, and I think they will be a challenge for Indiana next week.
Yeah, I mean, they made, and I only had kind of one eye on it while I was, getting ready for the IU game as well. But what struck me was that how much they frustrated Brandon Wimbush, Notre Dame's quarterback, and how much, therefore, they kept Notre Dame out of an offensive rhythm. I mean, I think at one point it was 24-6, and like you, I kind of thought, okay, well, now here's where Notre Dame puts their foot down and kind of accelerates away, and then Ball State just didn't let it happen. Now, if you're Indiana, I think you certainly look at this as not like a wake-up call, but, you know, this is it should be very easy now for Tom Allen and his staff to get his team to take Ball State seriously. I think if you'd looked preseason at these three non-conference games, you know, if you're just looking mentally as a player, you think FIU will be a tough challenge for different reasons. Virginia is the game where we really prove ourselves and we got to win. And then we get, you know, kind of this, we get Ball State to ease us into Big Ten play. I think it's clear that's not going to happen, or at very least that Indiana is going to really have to be sharp to make sure it doesn't happen. But if you're Indiana, maybe you also hope that, you know, emotionally Ball State put a lot into that Notre Dame game and comes to Bloomington next weekend just a little bit exhausted. But that's a Ball State team that was picked to finish last in its division in the Mid-American Conference. I think it's fair to say they are not quite that ready to roll over as everybody probably thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love seeing the in-state teams, whether it's football, basketball, any sport. It's you never want to see Indiana lose to them if you're a Hoosier fan, but it is great to see competitive teams out of the Hoosier State, that's for sure. Hey, one quick basketball note before I let you go. Armand Franklin committed to Indiana late last week. We had his high school coach on Friday. It's been interesting to see his comments on his commitment. I know he spoke with Alex Bozich over the weekend as well. Armand did. That's an interesting study there as far as recruiting goes for the Archie Miller regime at Indiana. I don't think by far he's the biggest recruit that Archie has landed to this point. That title goes to Romeo, and you could probably go ahead and make predictions for who might be second, third, and otherwise on that list. But as far as the recruiting job, the salesman job, the late close, what he did on the official visit, that should give Indiana fans confidence that even if Indiana is in a close race, whether it be Purdue or whether it be a blue blood power like a Duke or North Carolina, Archie Miller and his team, they are effective recruiters. You're always going to have a chance when they're closing the deal with a player, with a prospect.
I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. And I think it's striking, and I'm not trying to turn this into an IU is the best team in the Big Ten kind of conversation or whatever, but it is striking that for almost every one of these guys that Archie has committed, sans maybe Romeo, whose recruitment was obviously more national, they have taken somebody off the board that was a primary target for at least one or two other Big Ten schools. So, you know, Jerome Hunter it was pretty much believed to be a Michigan-Ohio State battle, and then Indiana got involved, and a couple months later he commits. It was You know, Rob Phinisee and Demayze Anderson both were high on the wish list for Purdue, and Indiana just kind of plucks them from spots where Indiana doesn't normally take talent. I don't think Indiana had a scholarship player from Lafayette since the 40s, and they hadn't had a scholarship player that any of us could find from South Bend since Tom Abernathy in the 70s. So now you kind of throw in Armon Franklin, who was widely believed to be a kind of a Purdue lean for a long time. And then, as you say, they get him in the official visit, they get him in the setting they want, and they wind up changing his mind. I think you're right. I think it's a really kind of good long-term sign for Indiana that that it's more than just, I guess, the appeal of the program, if that makes sense. Because, you know, if you're selling Indiana basketball as a brand in recruiting, that's always going to turn people's heads. But you've also got to find ways, if you're a head coach or a staff, to make sure that you're selling yourselves and really kind of telling your own story and not just trying to say like, oh, hey, it's Indiana, why wouldn't you want to be here? And I think that it's encouraging if you're an IU fan that it seems like Archie Miller and his staff are really good at both parts of that, at marketing and selling the program, but also marketing and selling themselves in such a way that's really resonating. Because if you look at it, we hear coaches say these boilerplate things when they get hired about, we're going to lock down the state, we're going to, you know, there's a ton of really talented players just down the street from here. You hear that in Indiana, you hear it anywhere, you hear it in almost any job. But if you actually look at what Archie Miller's done, he's committed 7 players that weren't previously committed to his program, and if you're not counting graduate transfers, since he got to Bloomington, if you are willing to extend Penn State's footprint all the way to Philadelphia, which is probably fair, all 7 of those players come from the Big Ten footprint, Indiana, Minnesota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. I mean, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to just kind of go out and do it. And I think that when results back up promises, that's when you start to feel like there's some really effective kind of message being pushed in recruiting.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, good stuff on both IU football and basketball recruiting with Armon Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral. Now in the fold, Zach, great to catch up. Always enjoy getting Monday started with you on the show. I know you've got some football stuff, some press conferences and things to get to, so we'll let you head to that. And, again, thank you. We'll do it again next Monday.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Come back with more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday edition of the program. I'm joined by Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director, also IHSA Executive Board member. He's in Indianapolis now, joins us by phone to catch up with some Southern Indiana sports headlines. And before I get to Chad, real quick, I did just see John Rothstein of CBS Sports tweet that Indiana's Deron Davis with an Achilles injury has not been cleared yet for contact, but the staff is hopeful that he will be a part of practice on October 1st, per Archie Miller, is what John just tweeted out. So just a little update there on Deron Davis. A lot of people wondering what his progress has been like in the offseason following the season-ending injury that he had in the regular season last year. Chad, welcome in. A lot of stuff to get to. Good stuff going on. College football is rolling. Week 4 of high school football's in the books, although it's been interesting, I'm sure, as an athletic director to have to dodge some of the weather and other things that have been thrown at you in recent weeks. But sports are here. Basketball season's getting closer, and there's never a shortage of things to talk about or be excited about when it comes to the happenings of Southern Indiana sports.
No question, Matt. You know, it's the time of year. It's a lot of fun. Football season is, you know, it's mid-season form right now. We're on week 5. And, you know, every game's a big game. We had a huge game Friday night against North Harrison. You know it's a big game if Max Spanauer shows up, and it was a huge night against North Harrison where our guys just battled. You know, Marion Luke's turned in another outstanding game. And it's one of those games where he does that with his teammates. You know, his line does a great job of blocking. And Coach Hawkins, he stayed on course. He stayed focused throughout the night. We didn't attempt one pass. You know, he stayed on the game plan. Coach Williams, that's how he plays at North Harrison. So, you know, what we did is we did what we do. You know, you kind of in these games, you got to dance with the girl you brought. There's going to be some games where you're going to be able to mix in some passing and stuff where you have an opportunity to learn on that one. But, you know, people say, well, we got to learn to pass a little bit more. Every time you pass, it's one more time that Marion Luke's that touched the ball. However, you know, teams are going to stop up the line. They're going to put 11 men, you know, 8 guys in the box and go at you. But what we've got to do on that is we've got to make sure that we stay on course, that we decide what's going to get us to the sectional. People say, well, you can't win a sectional if you don't pass. Well, if you don't do what we're due, we're not going to make it to the sectional finals. You know, it's like we come out of the semi-state when I was coaching the girls at Carmel. We're playing Carmel at Southport. A guy I've never seen in my life. Stop streams are coming out of the tunnel. Hey, coach, you ever thought about playing man-to-man? They played zone the entire year. You know, guy comes to one game, thinks we're going to play man-to-man because he wants us to. And, you know, you got to go stick to your strengths and hide your weaknesses. You know, coaches see these guys every day. We see them at Friday Night Lights. So it's a lot of fun to be around. It's a lot of fun to watch. You know, great battles. It was good for Jeffersonville to get their first win in the Bragg-Gleason area. New Albany lost a heartbreaker to Bedford, but New Albany's playing great football. But every year, you know, this time of year, it's always, you think of Bob Geddes and Reed May and the Mid-Southern Conference and the Hoosier Hills Conference. You know, those guys are the cream of the crop.
I was hoping for a undefeated New Albany against Columbus East at Burkefield in New Albany Friday. For week five, it would have been maybe, if you're just following football, you're not behind just a particular school, but you want to go to good games in the area. And unfortunately, we probably have, I know we have a lot of people that do that in basketball that just want to see the big game. They don't care who wins and loses. They want to see the best players, the good rivalries, the best crowds, the maybe the best popcorn too. But I don't know that that exists as much in football. But if it did, that would be one where you'd want to be at. I still think that game will be interesting because New Albany is a lot better. But Columbus East is figuring it out, and you're exactly right. When it comes to week five, week six, and you turn that corner, you head to the tournament pairings, and then you head to the sectionals, it's hard not to talk about programs like Columbus East and Brownstown, even though they're not in Clark or Floyd counties. They're not in our immediate coverage area. They have been so dominant and run their programs in such a way that it's hard for coaches not to emulate them in things on and off the field.
Well, you're exactly right, because this weekend, New Albany's playing for the Hoosier Hills Conference Championship. If they can beat Columbus East, they'll get a share of that. You know, they'll have one loss. Everybody will have one loss in. Same thing with North Harrison. They're playing Brownstown this weekend. Same thing. They're playing for a Mid-Southern Conference Championship. So both teams will get their absolute best shots. Both games will be outstanding games. And, you know, it's exciting for New Albany to have their football going right in the right direction. A lot of excitement around that one. And you'll be able to tell after this week when Columbus East comes to town. And one thing, if you're a fan, watch that Columbus East sideline. Watch how Bob Geddes has everybody has their job, everybody has a place, and everybody's in their place. You want to talk about an organized sideline. It's kind of like coaches. If you watch coaches and they've got a crazy bench, a lot of chaos on the bench, probably not a real well-coached team. But you think you magnify that with football with 70 players instead of 12 on the bench, and that sideline can get a little bit off-kilter a little. Bob Geddes has that sideline in place. Everybody has a task. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and that runs like a well-oiled machine.
Talking with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, also IHSA executive board member. I'm excited because Thursday night we're going to be out at Zaxby's. And first off, you know I love that Zaxby's food, Chad, and I know you like it as well.
Had that new chicken sandwich,
yes,
man.
I got Donnie Unruh and I got a sneak peek on that sandwich before it was available. You were probably invited to the meeting, but too busy. But it's great if you haven't had a chance to check it out. But I get to talk to Marion Lukes, not only Coach Hawkins on Thursday night, and Larry Dennison in Providence, but that's going to be our big feature game. We're doing a one-hour special out at Zaxby's on 62. It's a fundraiser. We'll have more information throughout the week. But I'm really curious to talk with Lukes. I've not ever had the chance to interview him. He obviously is stealing all the headlines as far as the big yardage and performances go, and I can't wait to learn more about this kid. I keep forgetting, had Coach Hawkins on the scoreboard the other night after his big win. Keep forgetting he's so young.
Right. You know, Luke's just a junior, and he's outstanding. He's got a brother who's a freshman. His brother took a shot Friday night. And, you know, most kids take a shot. They want to lay down, get the applause, but he jogged it off the field. So that told me, you know, that kid's pretty tough. And Marion Luke's is the one who's getting all the yardage. He's tough. And when you see him walk into Zaxby's, you're going to see why he runs. He looks like an athlete. He's ripped up. He's chiseled. He's tall. And he's quick. And that was, I'm glad, you know, I was going to tie into that Providence-Charlestown game, because to me, that's a marquee matchup. I think Providence is playing their best football of the season right now. And I think Charlestown's playing their best football of the season right now. We'll get our guys on turf, where Providence is used to playing on turf. And I think it's going to be an exciting night. Both teams, like I said, they're playing to get better, because, you know, we're in midseason right now and the sectional's right around the corner.
Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charlestown Athletic Director, our guest. Chad, we got to talk some basketball, and one of the things, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, even on the girls' side, I don't think you ever had a player that went to IU or in your years as Jeff Boyce coach went to IU to play basketball, but it's obviously the state school, and obviously as the coach at Jeffersonville, whether it's you or whether it's Joe Luce, no matter who it is, that's a prime program in the state of Indiana. And Archie Miller is building those relationships. Some of the coaches right now have a Romeo Langford, obviously an ideal time to get to know Jim Shannon and what he's doing in his program. And, oh, by the way, we're going to recruit Romeo Langford, one of the best in the country as well. But even for programs that don't maybe at the moment have a Division I player or have a player that is on the level of the Big Ten Conference, Archie is building those connections, and we are already seeing those connections pay off, because he is absolutely, I want to go ahead and say it this way, he's having his way with players from the state of Indiana. Now, he can put the icing on that if he could land Trace Jackson Davis, and he could put a double layer of icing on if he could get Keon Brooks as well. Of course, he's at La Lemire now, but still would count as an Indiana kid through and through. And I think Indiana has really good chances on both of them. I'd be shocked if they didn't land at least one of them. Things have changed, and they've changed quick inside the state lines as far as recruiting goes. And you've got to take your hat off, Chad, to Archie Miller and his staff as a former high school coach in the area on what they've been able to get done and how they're building these relationships.
Oh, he's got it going on, and he's approaching it the right way, man. I don't know Coach Miller at all. I'm anxious to get to know him, get to meet him, get to watch a practice at some point. But he's doing it the right way. You know, it's still on a page out of Coach Painter's book at Purdue. You know, I became a Purdue fan over the years because, you know, I've known Coach Painter. Brandon Brantley I played with coming up in AAU. The Thompson brothers, one of them's going to be there next year. The other one just graduated. LaSalle played with me at Indiana State, their dad. And then now, you know, Tommy Luce is up there. So you develop a connection, and that makes you want to watch Purdue. Well, that's what Archie's doing in Indiana. The more Indiana kids he gets, the more excitement is. You know, think about the early 90s when the Pat Grahams were there, the Chris Austin, the Pat Knights, Todd Learys, the Damon Baileys, all the way around. You wanted to watch IU basketball. And as a young kid, as a player, you wanted to play for IU because of that. That's what made it special. You had that extra interest that makes you tune into IU. It doesn't matter if they're playing Michigan, Kentucky, Coastal Carolina, or whoever it is. You want to watch that game because you're looking, not only rooting for the IU, but you're rooting for that kid especially. And I think, like you said, Archie's approaching it the right way. And it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of positive things going on at IU right now.
Chad Gilbert joining us as we talk Southern Indiana sports headlines Monday on the program each week. It's really amazing the way that the winds blow in recruiting. And again, I'm talking about comments I hear from coaches that may not have a player Indiana has recruited yet under Archie Miller's time at Indiana, but he's making those connections. We've talked a lot about the State Coaches Association when you were there this past year, about how that's a big networking event, every bit as much as it is for coaches to learn and develop themselves as far as you know, X's and O's on the court go. But he's doing those things. He's checking those things off that I think you and I, as guys that have been around basketball in this area for a while, say if you're going to take a college job, let's say Indiana or Purdue in this state, here are things that, you know, makes this basic sense for you to do. Archie has checked all those off, at least to date.
Absolutely. And that's smart coaching. That's smart recruiting. And that's smart marketing. You know, marketing now with recruiting is as big as anything. I've seen guys, you know, when they recruit, they're already showing pictures in their IU uniforms on their visit and pictures in front of the stadium. I saw a guy from Louisville. You know, he was had a big picture in front of the city. They just got a four-star recruit. So it's the way they do this thing is a science. And the coaches, they have it down. But the number one key is developing those relationships. And I think the more you do that one, the more you have an in with high school coaches, and that gives them an opportunity to encourage those players to stay in state.
Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charlestown Athletic Director. Chad, before I let you go, weather, man, what's going on with this weather? The last four Fridays, it's either been a threat of rain, rain leading up until kickoff, or there have been some delayed games the last, I guess not this past week, but the week before. It's almost like the high school football season is jinxed, and I'm afraid what's going to happen. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to go from threat of rain or overcast conditions or delayed games and wet fields to maybe some cold weather is what I'm afraid of.
Oh, you know, you have no control over Mother Nature. We dodged bullets at Charlestown. Week one against Silver Creek, we're supposed to get poured on. We dodged the bullet. Great night. Last week, we were supposed to get rained on. Dodged the bullet. A great night for football. The week before was at Clarksville. We had to move it back an hour. Their field got tore up pretty well, but our field's maintained. We've only got two more home games, so we're hoping we can get good weather on those last two games. But it's crazy this time of year. You just hope that the kids are safe, the weather conditions are good, you get big crowds as an AD.
All right, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member, always fun to have on and talk Southern Indiana sports headlines each week. Chad, great to catch up. We'll do it again next Monday and talk to you then.
Man, I appreciate Toronto. It's always good to catch up with you. We need to solidify this segment. We need John Siebold to sponsor us on this segment or do it at Avery Builders or something to get this thing solidified.
Hey, I got the guy.
I really appreciate talking to you, and we'll keep it going.
I got the guy, Bob McEwen. He's the one that can tie every bit of that together you just said. Bob, if you're listening, get to work for Chad, would you please?
Let's do it.
Okay. Have a great day. That'll wrap things up for us as well today. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget podcasts, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts. Point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. On Apple Podcasts, you just search for us, the Hoosier Report. It'll come up. If you would kindly leave us a good rating and a review, that'll help us expand our reach to other people that might want to listen to a show about Southern Indiana sports with a focus on IU things. That will do it for today. Have a great Monday. I think you'll have a better chance to stay dry today. I think most of the rain is out of the area. We'll be back on Tuesday with Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.